Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jeremy and worship team, for leading us to the throne room of God. It's a privilege to introduce to you here at Church on the Beach for the first time, Pastor Tim Clausen. He's been my guest before on WDCX Radio, and some of you know his name because he's a contributor to a local column in the newspaper here in Niagara region called Faith Matters. He's been married to his wife for 16 years. Christina is her name, and they have three children. Please welcome from the Niagara Worship Center, Pastor Tim Clausen.
All right. Well, thank you very much. This is, as Neil said, my first time here at Church on the Beach, and I am delighted to be here today. I know about this time, if it was this hot in our church, I'd be frantically texting the ushers and the sound guys to check the air conditioner to make sure that was on. I'm so glad we don't need to worry about that today. We can just enjoy the warm weather here on the beach. And I really do believe that God has placed a word on my heart for us today. And I want to just start by encouraging you. I believe that this moment is the greatest day for us to be here on planet Earth. I believe that this is an exciting time for us to be here. And a lot of people ask questions like, if you could go and live in any moment in time, in any season in time, what generation, what decade would you go to? I really believe this is the greatest day that we could be here, because every single person on this beach has been called for such a time as this. God, in his wisdom, has called you to be here in this moment and in this time. I want to take us to Luke chapter 10. If you do have a Bible, you can go there. We're going to be reading Luke chapter 10 in a moment. And I want to just start by letting you know a quick glimpse into my life. When I was 13 years old, it was the first time that I heard the voice of God. I had been praying at night and really kind of troubled with this reality that I was raised in a Christian home. I was raised knowing who Jesus was, and yet I had these neighbors next door who did not know the Lord. They were not a Christian family. We loved them. We played together with them as when I was a young kid. And I would stay up at night asking God, why? Why was it that he would allow me to be born into a Christian family? And I've got these wonderful neighbors here who were not, and they did not know the Lord. And after about a year of praying and seeking God, I heard him answer me, and he said this: because I have given you the wisdom, the courage, and the strength to tell other people about Jesus. Fast forward 2 years, I'm 15 years old, and I think that I'm going to be a school teacher, because my older sister, who's 5 years older than me, she wanted to be a school teacher. And I knew that when I grew up, I wanted to be just like my sister, except I wanted to be a boy. It's 2025. You got to be real clear when you tell your story. And so I thought I was going to be a school teacher. And I heard the Lord one night when I was 15 years, and he said to me, you are going to be a teacher, but it's not going to be in a school. It's going to be in the local church. And I have the privilege today of boldly proclaiming Jesus to every one of you here on the beach. So Luke chapter 10, the title of this message is The Gospel of the Good Samaritan. And I'm confident that most of you know this story. This is probably the most familiar story in all of Scripture outside of the Christmas and the Easter story. Is the story of the Good Samaritan. So I'm going to read a few verses here. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put Jesus to the test. And he said, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, what is written in the law? And how do you read it? And he answered him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to him, you have answered well. Do this, and you will live. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, who is my neighbor? And this is where we get this parable, this story that Jesus went on to share. And I'm not going to read it. I'm going to summarize it for us. Jesus says that there was this man who was on this journey from Jerusalem to Jericho. And if you don't know the journey, this is 21 miles of walking through desert paths. There's caves and areas all around where lots of thieves and robbers could hide. And so Jesus says this man's traveling 21 miles from Jerusalem to Jericho. And when he's on his way, he gets attacked by robbers and thieves. He gets robbed and stripped and left half dead on the side of the road. Jesus says that there are three different people who pass by. The first person is a Jewish priest. Now, as Jesus is telling the story, the religious leader must be thinking, this is the one who's going to come and care for this man. We've got a man of God, this religious priest who comes, and you know the story. He sees the man half dead and he walks on by. And I've heard people, pastors and preachers say that perhaps this priest was coming from the temple where he was making sacrifices. And if that was the case, he wouldn't have been able to touch a body that was potentially dead, because that would have made him ceremonially unclean. And so he might have had to go all the way back to Jerusalem. And you know, that might be true, but I don't believe that that's the point of what Jesus is saying. I believe the point is simply that this priest was acting selfishly. He chose in that moment not to help this man. I don't know how many of you can relate. Have any of you ever acted selfishly? Let's just have some public confession of sin this morning on the beach. That would do our soul well. We've all had our moments of acting in great selfishness. It's called selfishness syndrome, and we've all suffered from it from time to time. Second individual that travels by is a Levite. Now, a Levite is not a priest, but all priests are Levites. So let me explain it like this. Not all Canadians are Blue Jays fans, but all Blue Jays fans are Canadians. Can I get an amen from all the Canadians on the beach here? And the Lord has really been answering our prayers recently for the Blue Jays, right? Except for last night, we're just going to pretend that that didn't happen. So here comes this Levite, and he's a little bit better than the priest, because Jesus says that he comes and he looks at, he actually takes a step closer to this man beaten up, half dead on the side of the road, but then he decides to go by on the other side. And if you're the religious leader talking to Jesus, you're thinking, these are the two men who should have helped, and yet these are the two men who didn't help. Third traveler, Jesus describes, this is a Samaritan. And the Samaritan is the one who had compassion on the man. He goes over, tends to his wounds. He picks him up, places him on an animal, brings him to the local Best Western, checks him into the Crystal Beach Inn, gets him cared for, right? He's the one who has compassion on this man. And so Jesus takes this strange story. He flips the script on what every person you thought would do. And he chooses the least likely person to help. We get this Samaritan who is lifted up and prized and praised as the hero of the story. Okay, so this is the story of the Good Samaritan. And you know it. And what I want to do is I want to bring the power and the truth of the gospel into this story. Because I'm pretty sure that most of you have heard the story of the Good Samaritan. And the primary takeaway that you have heard presented is this. You should be like the Good Samaritan. Show of hands, how many of you have ever heard that sermon before? You should be like the Good Samaritan. We shouldn't discriminate against other people. We should love others, even if they are those that we would not normally have a friendship with, care for, if they have a different life experience than us, a different education level. We should all go and be a good neighbor. Be like the Good Samaritan. Here's what I want to challenge you with today. The message of the gospel is so much better than that. This is what we're told. Go and be the Good Samaritan. Now, how many of you, if I gave you this word today, and let me go a little bit farther, if Jesus himself were to stand up here on the beach and the word that he was giving to you was, everybody, I want you to go from this beach today, and I want you to be like the Good Samaritan. How many of you think that would change your life if that was the sermon, right? Just go and be a good neighbor to everybody. I'd like to propose to you that it might challenge you, it might encourage you, it might push you in the right direction to be a little bit less selfless and a little bit more considerate of other people. But in light of eternity, I'd like to propose to you that that is not the gospel message. If the message of the gospel is, be nice to people. Just be nice. Be a nice person. Be a good neighbor. If that's the message of the gospel, how's that working for you? Like, how's that working for you? Just love everybody and serve everybody everywhere that you go. Be nice all the time. Be selfless all the time. And how's that going for you? Is that radically changing your life? See, here is the message of empty religion. Try harder and do better. This is what the weight of empty religion will press upon your shoulders. Try harder and do better. You're not serving others enough. You're not serving in your community enough. You're not volunteering in your church enough. Come on, you can go to more Bible studies. You can serve more. You can do more. Empty, judgmental, heavy, critical religion will press you to be a better Christian. How many of you have ever had that internal dialogue? I just got to be a better Christian. I got to strive more. I got to try more. I got to pray more. I got to do this. I got to do that. And for clarification, I want to tell you that I believe in pursuing a holy life. I believe in the call of sanctification. I believe in the message of being a good neighbor. But I'd like to propose to you that the gospel is so much better than that. If empty religion says be good, the gospel says be made good by the blood of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen in the house today? Empty religion will tell you, be better, try harder, go to more church services. But the gospel is this: be made better by the blood of Jesus Christ. He makes you holy by his blood. I want to remind you that we need to be a people who read our Bibles in context. Let me take you back to Luke chapter 10, verse 25. Here's what he says: Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? This is the context of the question. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus's answer, he gave the only answer that was available at that moment before the cross, which was what? It was the old covenant system. Obey the commandments. And how do we summarize all the commandments? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Beautiful things that we are all called to do, and it is still the call that we are given in terms of pursuing the Lord. But how many of you know that at times we all fall and fail? We all fall short of the glory of God. So Jesus says, you want to inherit eternal life? Just obey the God, obey the commandments. Can I ask you a question this morning? How's that working for you? How's that working for you? I just got to go and try hard and be hard and pray hard. And come on, if you're a Christian, you know that this is not the gospel message. I'd like to give you a better understanding of this scripture. The point of the Good Samaritan is not for us to look at the Good Samaritan and to go, I'm supposed to be like the Good Samaritan. The gospel message of the Good Samaritan in the story is Jesus is the Good Samaritan. Jesus is the one who was the unlikely one. He had no responsibility resting upon his shoulders, like the Samaritan would have no responsibility to come and care for a Jew. Jesus, who is and was and forevermore will be the perfect God of the universe, who had no responsibility to come and to die for us. The point of the parable of the Good Samaritan is we are the ones who have been beaten up and robbed by sin and Satan and our own temptations. We have been left half dead at the side of the road, and nobody else can save us but Jesus. The priest can't save you. The Levite can't save you. Your pastor can't save you. Hallelujah, that's the truth. That sets me free, doesn't it? I can't save you. Worship leader can't save you. That new book that you bought can't save you. That course that you signed up for can't save you. None of that can save you. Jesus can save you. I want to encourage you today with this truth. You are not the hero of your story. Jesus is. You're not the hero. And sometimes we read the Bible selfishly, and so we place ourselves at the center of the story. We're not the hero of the story. Jesus is. And here's our life. Our life is a 21-mile journey from Jerusalem to Jericho. From the moment you're born until the moment you breathe your last breath, this is our life. Jesus is telling us the story of our life. We are on this dangerous road, walking through a dangerous place called planet Earth, and there are spiritual forces, demons, devils, temptations, and sin that are lying in caves trying to come out and draw us away from God's plan for our life. And here's the message of the gospel. Jesus came. He is the one who can save us and give us eternal life. Listen to me. Your marriage can't save you. That new relationship can't save you. A positive outlook on life can't save you. Only Jesus Christ can save you. You remember this conversation that Jesus had with his disciples one day, talking about a rich man. And Jesus challenged them with this truth. He says that it is hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. You remember what the disciples said? He said, Rabbi, who can be saved? Like if a wealthy person, wealthy people in Jesus' day were highly esteemed as those who had figured something out, if a rich man is going to have a hard time entering into the kingdom of heaven, then who can be saved? Here's what Jesus said, Matthew 19:26. With man, this is impossible, but with God, come on, church, all things are possible. Who can be saved? By trying, by striving, by building wealth, by building a family, by doing good deeds, by giving money to charity. Who can be saved by doing good things? Here's what the gospel says. Nobody. Because all of us fall short of the glory of God. With God, all things are possible. I want to encourage you today with this truth. Stop living like you can do it on your own. I want to challenge you to refuse to be impressed with yourself. That's a good word for somebody on this beach today. Just refuse to be impressed with yourself. Oh, Pastor Tim, I've been doing so good, and I've been 13 weeks in a row at church. And I've been reading my Bible every day, and that's wonderful. Please, as a local pastor, of a pastor of the local church, I love the local church. I love what God is doing. But do not find your sense of identity in the things that you do for God. Find your identity in Jesus Christ himself. Refuse to be impressed with yourself. I want to encourage you today that God is on the move in the local church. I don't know how many of you are a part of a local church. I get the privilege of being a part of what God is doing in Niagara Falls. And I'm a Niagara guy. I've been born in the Niagara region. Or I should say I was born. I was born in the Niagara region, and I've been here for my whole life. And God called me at the age of 15, and God opened a door for me 12 years ago to begin to serve as the lead pastor of Niagara Worship Center in Niagara Falls. And it's been incredible, just supernatural door opening after supernatural door. Where my wife and I found ourselves there 16 years ago, right after we got married. We went into this church not knowing anybody in the room. And the worship team began to play. And in the second worship song, we looked at each other and we said, this is our church. We just knew God called us. It wasn't because we liked the key that they were playing in, the style of music. It was, we knew God has called us to this local church. And supernatural doors began to open. We began to serve in kids ministry. We began to serve in youth ministry. I had no idea that God would open a door for me to begin to pastor that church. I was 25 years old. I had not yet graduated from seminary. I had zero experience in pastoral ministry. And this church took a chance on a 25-year-old kid and voted me in as their pastor 12 years ago. And unless I haven't heard the latest update, I'm still the youngest lead pastor in Western Ontario in our church fellowship in the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, which I pray changes quickly, because hear me now, we need more pastors and we need more young leaders in the local church. We need more people to recognize the call of God on our lives. And what God has been doing in our local church, and I talk to pastors, so I don't know where you all are connected with, but I talk with enough pastors to know God is on the move all across the Niagara region. And it's incredible what we have been experiencing at our church, that within the last few years, we went from one Sunday service to two Sunday services to now we're at three Sunday services every Sunday because God is bringing people into his kingdom. Since January of this year, we have seen 38 people baptized in water. It is just an amazing thing that God is doing. And can I encourage you? We get to be a part of it. Don't get too excited this morning. Just everybody just quiet down a little bit. We get to be a part of what God is doing here in the Niagara region. We are the ones who are called to live for such a time as this. We have the privilege of being people who are used by God. Let me bring this together, and I want to ask the worship team to come as we just begin to land the plane here. Here's what religion says. Be good, try harder, do better. Here's what the gospel says. Be made good by the blood of Jesus. Place your faith in him. You say, what's the difference? One focuses on activity and the other focuses on identity. It's a big mistake that a lot of people make is they find their sense of value in what they do. What they do for their husband, what they do for their wife, what they do for their kids, their community, their church. Well, I'm doing all these things, Pastor Tim. And people find their value in their activity. And what I'm proposing to you today is that the greatest thing that we could do is find our sense of worth in our identity. Well, what is our identity? I am loved by God. I am chosen. I am forgiven. I am purchased by his blood. I am called by name, and God has a plan for my life. I am made in his image. Psalm 139 says this, in your book were written, every one of them, the days that you have planned for me. Here's what that means. It's one of my favorite statements. God scrapbooks in advance. Isn't that amazing? In your book were written in my life all the days that you have prepared for me, which means God knew when I was 13 years old that there was a plan on my life. God knew when I was 15 years old there was a plan on my life. I didn't know where God was leading me. I didn't know how it was going to happen. But I want to encourage you today, God has scrapbooked your life in advance. God knows what he wants your tomorrow to look like. God knows what he wants 10 years from now to look like. God knows what he wants your children's life to look like. God knows what he wants to do in generations that will extend beyond your life today. Religion will always beat you up. Jesus will always lift you up. Religion will always tell you you could be doing more, you could be trying harder. Jesus will always lift you up and encourage you, tell you he's got a plan for your life. Let me bring this back to the text. We got to read our Bibles as they're written. Listen to this parable. Verse 34 of Luke chapter 10. This is what the Samaritan says to the innkeeper. Take care of him. And whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. Listen to the gospel here. Jesus, when he died on the cross 2,000 years ago, he did not just pay for the sins of the past. A lot of Christians don't understand this. They see their salvation as Jesus has forgiven me for the sins of my past, but then when we stumble in sin in our present and in our future, we go, God, why? Where are you? And do you still love me? And am I still promised heaven and eternal life? This is the gospel. When Jesus died, he paid for your past sins, present sins, and future sins. All of them, from the cradle to the grave. And I remind my church on a regular basis, I want to remind you, you are looking at one forgiven child of God. I have no sin. When Jesus looks at me, he sees no sin in me. Not because I'm perfect, not because of my activity, because all of us fall short of the glory of God. But Jesus sees me as perfect through the blood of Jesus. When you say yes to Jesus, all your sins are washed away from you, and you become holy and spotless and pure in the eyes of God. Here's what Paul says, Galatians 2:20, I have been, past tense, crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. And he gave himself for me. Ladies and gentlemen, you're looking at a dead man walking. When I gave my life to Jesus in 1992, I died. And I was born again. And ever since that moment, I have not been perfect in my activity, but I have been perfect in my identity as a child of God. Here's the gospel. Here's the gospel. Then we're going to pray together. Jesus Christ is my good Samaritan. I am not the hero of my story. Jesus is the hero of my story. And the greatest thing that you and I could do is respond to the invitation of the gospel and to place our trust in Jesus. If you're here on this beach, sitting, standing, kneeling, lying, swimming, splashing, if you're here today and you have not responded to the gospel by placing your faith in Jesus Christ, here is the answer to the question, what must I do to receive eternal life? Put your trust in Jesus. Put your trust in Jesus. Say yes to him. Realize that your life is not about you. You've been trying to find joy in and of yourself, and you can't find it. You can't heap up joy that will last, but you can find joy if you lay down your life and find your identity in Jesus. Here's the gospel that I want to pray with you. Jesus did not come to make bad men better. Jesus came to raise dead men back to life. He wants to allow you to be born again. If you've never said yes to Jesus, in this moment, right here on this beach, if you'd like to say yes to Jesus, I want to ask you if you'd be willing to be bold and raise your hand in the air. If you would like to pray and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what must I do to receive eternal life? If you would like to say yes to Jesus, if you've never done that before, this beach is a church service and you have been invited to join the family of God. If there's anyone in this room, raise your hand. I want to lead you in a prayer. And we're going to just lift our voices in a moment and sing together. Thank you, Lord, for your love for each and every one standing before me. If you're here in this place and you'd like to surrender your life to the Lord, or if you've already done so and you are ready to afresh say yes to Jesus, would you just repeat these words after me? God in heaven, I believe in Jesus. I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again for me. I call you my Lord and Savior today. Forgive me of my sins. Make me your child. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's lift our voices and worship the Lord together.
rock ever when you're singing over me. And there's not a voice more constant, your melodies that never cease. And here I stand in your presence. It's my true identity. And doesn't it sound like, it sounds like, sounds, come on, sing it out.
Worship team continues to play. I want to tell you a real quick story about something that happened to me this week. I grew up in a neighborhood where, you know, we had a bunch of friends that played together as kids. 20, 30 years passed, and then kind of all got reacquainted again. We hang out together once in a while, and one thing that's been on our hearts and minds for the last 13 years is that one of the guys in our neighborhood got cancer. He's been fighting that. And I don't know how many days he has left on the earth, but he's confined to a bed. Hospice is dealing with him right now, and you know, we prayed for his healing. But he's a young man that grew up in a Jewish home. As an adult, did not practice Judaism. Considers himself a Jew, but didn't practice Judaism. And I began to get a heavy heart for him, and I thought, I need to share Jesus with him. I need to tell him about Jesus and give him the hope that can be found in Christ. Jesus offers us two incredible things. One is eternal life. The other is forgiveness of sin. And you can't have eternal life until your sins are forgiven. Isaiah 59:2, a Jewish scripture, I might add, says that it's our sin that separates us from God, leaves us on the side of the road like the beggar on his way from Jerusalem to Jericho. That's where we are. We're sinners separated from God. Pastor Tim mentioned Romans 3:23. All of us have sinned. All of us fall short of God's glory. Every one of us are beggars on the side of the road. Well, forgiveness is found in Jesus. In him, we have redemption through his blood. We have the forgiveness of sins, it says in Ephesians 1:7. But you know, another verse that jumps out of Scripture to us is Romans 6:23. 3:23 says the wages of sin is death. I'm sorry, 3:23 says all of us have sinned and fall short of God's glory. 6:23 in the book of Romans says the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Free gift of God. I want you to think about that for a minute, because somebody can bring a beautiful Amazon package and put it on your porch, but if you never open the door and receive the gift, it's not yours. Somebody can mail you a birthday gift. If you never receive it, never open it, it's not yours. And the truth I shared with my friend this past week is that if we want forgiveness and if we want eternal life, they're available in Jesus. 1 John 5:11, 12, and 13, the proof is this: God has given us eternal life. This life is found in his Son. Whoever has the Son, that's Jesus, has eternal life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have this life. These things have I written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life beyond the shadow of a doubt. What we need are forgiveness and eternal life only can be found in Jesus. Well, I asked my friend's sister if she thought it was okay if I talked to him about Jesus and about the gospel and about eternal life. And she said, I sure hope you will. I trust you. I know who you are. I know you're not Jewish, but I know that you're not going to harm him in any way. And so I brought it up to him and I said, listen, I don't know how long we have on this earth. None of us do. And I'm not trying to scare anybody, but there's no guarantee we're going to get home from here alive. But the point is, I said, Michael, we don't know what tomorrow holds. And I wouldn't be a true friend if I didn't tell you that Jesus has everything to offer you, just like Pastor Tim shared with us. Our hope is in him, not in beating cancer. And we pray for his total healing, and I hope you'll pray for my friend Mike. But I explained to him that forgiveness and eternal life are available in Jesus, like a present left on the porch by Amazon. Mike, do you want those things? He said, absolutely. And he prayed and he invited Jesus into his heart. How's that possible? It's not possible. His sister was thrilled to hear that. But see, Mike did something that you need to think about. Mike received the gift that Jesus offers. The wages of sin is death. That means eternal separation from God. All of us have sinned. All of us fall short of God's glory. There's none righteous, not even one. None of us have truly kept the laws of God. We haven't loved God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We haven't always loved our neighbor as ourselves. We're guilty of sin. And Jesus says, I paid it all, past, present, and future. As Pastor Tim explained, would you receive that gift today? So just close your eyes as we prepare to close out our service together and thank God for what he's saying to hearts right now. But once again, I want to ask you, if today's the day that you want to say yes to Jesus and receive the gift of forgiveness, receive the gift of eternal life, just slip your hand up real quick. Don't be bashful. Hallelujah. What is God saying to your heart? Jesus came and shed his blood so each one of us could be forgiven. Will you say yes to him today? I'm going to ask one more time. Raise your hand. Don't be bashful. Amen. Hallelujah. God, I thank you that you're speaking to hearts. I thank you for the message that Pastor Tim Clausen shared with us this morning, for the worship that we've been led in. Lord, we celebrate you. We are not the heroes of our own story. We've made a mess of things, but in your unconditional love, you came to redeem us. You went once to the cross. Christ died once for all. The one who had no sin died for all of us sinners in order that he might bring us to God. Thank you for that truth. Thank you for what you're doing in our hearts and lives today. We celebrate you. We celebrate the goodness of the gospel. And I thank you, Lord, that we don't have to try to be like the Good Samaritan. We can't do it. You did it for us. And God, we want to walk in freedom. We want to say goodbye to the old self and yes to the new life that can only be found in you. Thank you for those who've been born again today, Lord. Welcome to the family of God. Lord, we want to walk in newness of life. Teach us what that looks like. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Listen, as we close out, we want to invite any of you who want prayer to come over here on the other side of the rocks. We're not going to bite you. We're not going to sign you up for anything. But we'd sure love to meet you and pray with you. A reminder that Fort Erie allows us to come to the beach free of charge for church on the beach as long as we arrive before 9. You don't have to pay to get here. But if you choose to stay, if you've made a decision you want to stay at the beach, just go back out the sand path halfway out. There's a machine there. You can get a ticket or whatever you need to be able to stay on the beach. If you plan to stay, please pay. Let's be good citizens. Let's honor what Fort Erie has asked of us. And thank you all for coming to church on the beach this Sunday morning. Next week, we'll be back again at 8:45. Bring a friend. And if you've been blessed by what Pastor Tim shared and by the worship Jeremy Droppert has led us in, can you just say an amen? Can we just thank the Lord for what he's done this morning? Hallelujah. We're going to close out with a final song. Thank you for being here. God bless you.